Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also would like to acknowledge our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. Thank you. You are tuning into Let's Talk. I am your host, Bo Spearham. The 26th of February, 1968, when Uncle Lionel Rose won the world bantamweight boxing title from Japan, fighting Harata in Tokyo. And at that time, he was the second person from this country to win a world title, but he was the first Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person to win a world title. Today's show, I will be yarning with brother Sammy Leone. Sammy is a boxer from the north side of Brisbane. He's a proud Garawa and also a bachelor man from North Queensland, but he grew up here in Brisbane. Today, we're going to be yarning about his boxing career and also some of the stuff that he's been doing now after his boxing career. On the program this morning, Sam is going to be yarning with me about his new boxing gym that he's starting up on the north side and would love the support of the people. So I hope you enjoy. But before we get into that interview with our brother here, I just want to go to a quick song to Pick Me Up On My Way Down by Uncle Lionel Rose. You're listening to 98.9 FM and this is Let's Talk.
My heart can still be found where you tossed it on the ground. Pick me up on your way down. Pick me up on your way down. When you're blue and all alone, when that glamour starts to bore you, come on back where you belong. You may be their pride and joy, but they'll find another toy, and they'll take away your crown. Pick me up on your way down. They have changed your attitude, made you haughty and so rude. Your new friends can take the blame. Underneath, you're still the same. When you learn these things are true, I'll be waiting here for you. As you tumble to the ground, pick me up on your way down. Pick me up on your way down. When you're blue and all alone, when their glamour starts to bore you, come on back where you belong. You may be their pride and joy, but they'll find another toy. Then they'll take away your crown. Pick me up on your way down.
I've got a special guest in the studio with me this morning. Sammy, could you tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah. My name is Sammy Leone. I live on the north side, in Brisbane on the north side. My people are Garawa and Bachelor on my Bachelor on my grandmother's side, Garawa on my grandfather's side.
Born and raised in Brisbane as well?
Yeah, born and raised in Brisbane. Majority of that on the north side.
On the north side, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like the stuff that we're going to have a yarn about is, you know, to around boxing. You know, when you were a boxer yourself, could you, just for our listeners, just, you know, give us a bit of bio about, you know, your boxing career and how you got started into boxing?
Yeah, a little bit of that was, I was at a point in my life, so got into a little bit of riffraff when I was younger, from my teens all the way through to adolescence, like all the way through to early 20s. A lot of that stuff there, you know, unhealthy sort of behaviours, bit of drug addiction, bit of alcohol addiction, that sort of stuff. And then I came to a point in my life where my daughter was born, and that was a part, around 20 years of age, I thought, oh, I better start snapping out of it. When you're in that cycle of addiction, you tend to come good a little bit. When you want to come good, you come good, and then you relapse, you drop back. Come good, drop back. That sort of happened over a two-year period. And then from there, when I made that conscious decision to say, yep, I really need to step up, it was like that point in my life where people would come into my life with who'd inspire me, or I think I may have possibly been at a point where I actually would listen. Maybe they were coming to me for a while, but I wasn't ready to take that on. So a brother came up and he said, "Oh, look, I just started recently at a boxing gym. You want to come and check it out?" So I said, "Yeah, brother, I'll come and check it out." Rocked up, first training session, spewed up three times, and seen how hard it was, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pain, the fitness, the discipline, and that was when I was at about the age of 22. Never looked back. And
how was that, I guess, for, you know, like your mental state as well? Like you're saying, you know, you got to the point where, you know, you were, you know, going good and you're relapsing. Like you said, you're doing this for, you know, a period of time. And then when you got to that stage where you fell in love with boxing, how was that?
It was awesome. And in that period of that negative time, that bad time, I had to hit a point where I had to hit rock bottom. I did that. I hit rock bottom. That made me see. I felt like I was in despair. I had no other way out but to either go one way or the other. And then that feeling when that opportunity came, it was awesome. And just seeing, having discussions with different people, not in that usual circle that I would be in, the only circle that I knew, you're having different discussions and you're with a different sort of group of people, and the discussions were different. And the talk was different, and the language and everything we spoke about was different. So that just hearing those different discussions rather than the usual stuff of, oh, who's going to do this or what are you doing, you know, on the weekend and stuff like that, that was the positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And mentors in my life as well.
Mm. And that's when you just stuck to boxing and just stayed there and trained hard for a while. And did you have many amateur fights or just straight professional? Or
No. I had many amateur fights, about 90-odd fights in the amateurs before I turned professional. When I turned professional, I had about 10 fights, so around about 100 or a little bit over 100 fights in my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But 10 as a pro, yep.
Deadly. And you won the Queensland, what division was you again?
Yeah, that was welterweight.
Welterweight.
And brother Bo did corroboree for me.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah, there
when I won that title.
Yeah. It was. Now, and there was a couple other. There was another Murray fight on that undercard as well. I think his name was. He was a Mundry fella. Fred.
Oh, that would have been Freddie. Yeah.
I remember. I think it was. I think it was after your fight, or might have been before, and I think we went to go change, and then he walked out and we went to go change and got back and the fight was finished. But no, I remember that night. It was a deadly night. I think it was an Asian fella you fought, eh? Or Chinese fella?
Filipino. Yeah, he was from the Philippines.
Yeah. You know, it was a good fight. He's pretty much was going toe-to-toe there as well.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good fight that was, brother. But yeah, you know, like we've, you know, been talking about your boxing career. Also, for a lot of our listeners, you know, also for, well, I mean, for a lot of our young fellas, you know, that, you know, hopefully we, you know, we reach out to the young fellas through the station. How, you know, when you had that positive change, what was that like?
It was really good, and a key part of that was definitely the discipline, the structure, the routine, the rules. It's straight. You go into the gym, you do the, put in the work, you do the wrong thing. There's rules in place. From where I came from, I set my own rules in life. But to come into an environment where if you mucked up, you know, you had to go. Or if you went and you fought on the street and stuff like that, which I did when I was younger. But if you did that and it was found out, you'd bring ill repute. Like, it'd be like, oh, no, you can't come back to the gym. So those things put a bit of structure, positive discipline and stuff like that in my life. And I had key mentors, so...
What about when you was outside the gym, like you're saying, you're like, you had those run-ins with other mob outside of the gym. So there was rules set in place for the things that you did outside of the gym, outside of, I guess, gym hours, boxing hours, you know, so that would sort of fall back and impact on your training and that as well?
Yeah, so one thing that it gave me, the biggest thing was discipline and self-control. Mm. And with that... Before, if someone was to give you cheek or something on the street, you'd have to prove yourself and say, oh, and show, oh, I'm not scared of you, and then you'd arc up and have a go, you know, like, or if someone had a go at you, you'd turn around and then you'd have to, you'd feel that you had a, it was a responsibility of yours to stand up to the other bloke, and then you'd have a go. Yeah. And what boxing did was, because it gave you that... sense of, okay, strength, you and discipline and all of that, you didn't have to prove yourself, because every week you're going in and you're fighting in the ring. It's in a controlled environment, and your aggression can be channeled into somewhat like, you know, you could take your aggression out on your opponent. Afterwards, you shake hands, and it gives you that confidence. So knowing that I could then walk into places and not feel intimidated or not, you know, just be confident in myself as a young man and not have to worry about, oh, because I don't need to try to puff my chest out and go and act a certain way. I'd be comfortable with myself, and it made me more placid.
On the program this morning, I am talking with our brother, Sam Leone. He is a First Nations boxer, proud bachelor and proud Gadawa man from Queensland. He's a deadly boxer based on the north side of Brisbane, retired now, but we're yarning about his boxing career and also what he's doing after boxing, the boxing gym that he wants to set up here on the north side. And we're just going to go to a quick song break. Fred Brophy is In Town by Trey Cassidaly.
To be won, and all the local stock camps, the word is getting round. There's no doubt about it, Fred Brophy's in town. They'll drive for miles, boys, to do the local shows, and hard and tough and locals come out to have a go. Jimmy comes out swinging and his eyes up on the ground. There's no doubt about it, Fred Brophy's in town. So calling all you ringers, it's time to have some fun. We're rodeo all day, then we'll drink a bit of rum. Get into that old tent, hear the roar of the crowd. There's no doubt about it, Fred Brophy's in town. He steers clear of the curry, cause they can really fight. Some of those young roustabouts can bloody go all night. So rally around the drum, boys, rally around the drum. Come one, come all, and give his troop a run. is the one familiar sound. There's no doubt about it, Fred Brophy's in town. There's no doubt about it, Fred Brophy's in town.
This is Bo Spearem with Let's Talk.
And we're listening to 98.9 FM. This is Let's Talk. I'm your host, Bo Spearem, and my guest is Fred Leone. That song you were listening to was Fred Brophy's In Town by Troy Cassadaly. I'm yarning with our brother, Sam Leone. Sam, throughout his boxing career, had around 100 fights. How come you quit, brother? Like, too old, having more family, or just...
Yeah, it was... The game is there's a lot involved. It's like any sport. There's a lot of politics, and I hadn't had a good run at that point. So I thought, it's time to hang the gloves up, and I wasn't getting any younger either. So just knowing that, I thought, after I had a couple of decisions that I didn't feel too well, went my way, I thought, it's time for me to step out, because the pain in that is you put a lot of hard work and effort into that, and then when you don't get, dividends on your hard work, it's a little bit soul-destroying, if anything. Yeah.
And from stepping out of the boxing ring till about now, when you've gotten back into the gym and you want to start training some young fellas, how long has that period been in between?
Yeah, that's been a while. When did I? Maybe 2015, I think, might have been my last fight. So maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. And in between, you never had that urge of stepping back in the ring or going back in there and just training, or just like you just wanted to stay away and just do your own thing?
The love for the game is always there. Mm-hmm. And you always, at times, you contemplate, I'd love to get back in there, but I'm realistic too, and I know I'm not getting any younger, and the passion's there, but now it's like there's even more of a passion to be able to share that knowledge. So I had good mentors in my life who really helped to guide me along the way, and I probably would like to acknowledge some of those people as well.
Definitely,
So Cyril Johns, he's over at Kabingai Boxing over at Brackenridge. So he was my first coach, and I had probably about the majority of my career with him, maybe 70 to 80 fights, and then something like that with him. And then I moved on, and I'd been around. Another good positive role model was Gareth Williams. Over at the boxing shop, and my final trainer as a pro, I had a couple of pro fights under Gareth, and then I transitioned over to Wayne Spencer, and with him, he's a master trainer, but he's in another discipline, which was interesting for me, kickboxing.
Oh, yep.
So I did the training with that fella, and it was the strongest I'd ever been, and fittest. So I started getting that power, and he really built me up to have a fair bit of power towards the end, and so I had a good shot with him. I didn't get the decisions, I thought, it's time to move away, because I won't get any stronger or fitter than with this bloke.
Definitely. And who's some of your favourite boxers as well?
There's a lot there. Mm. Are you talking about it on the domestic scene or international?
International, domestic scene, mob, whoever, yeah.
Yeah, let me think. There's so many out there at the moment. All right, if we go for, someone who's inspired me from day one is Anthony the Man Mundine. What that brother has done for the boxing world in Australia is ridiculous. He revived the sport in this nation, and he's got so many people who bag him, and he's got a lot of people that are against him, and I respect and admire his strength as a man and as an Aboriginal man and as an athlete and as an ambassador and role model in the community. And I feel that he's had a bad run by public because of the way that he's portrayed in the media.
What about, the old followers like Lionel Rose, his old man, you know, Uncle Tony, old Hector Thompson from here, so, you know, lived here in Brisbane, other, you know, got old boxers all. I remember when I was doing some work with Uncle Coco, Uncle Hector Thompson's house burnt down over at Maruka there. And, like, we were, you know, cleaning up the house and, you know, chucking stuff in the wheelie bin and whatnot. And we come across some, like, old pictures of, like, Uncle Hector Thompson in his heyday, you know, shaping up and some old news. It was freaky. Like, out of everything, like, that didn't get touched and burnt was his old photos and old newspaper clippings that we found, yeah.
I got one for you then, brother. We're talking about old Aboriginal boxers. And he's one fellow there. And much respect to all the other old-timers, like... Uncle Hector and Lionel Rose and all them. But one fella I have a lot of respect for at the time, I'll tell you the story. Nothing against the other fella on the receiving end. But when I was in the amateurs, we went to a tournament and they had a fella at the time. He was the Australian professional champion. He's actually a really top-notch boxing coach in Australia. His name's... Chris McCullen, you know, the
Chris
little,
McCullen,
little
yeah, from Mount Logan, there, yeah.
So he runs Logan Boxing Gym, and at the time he was the Australian pro champ. They had Uncle Norm Stevens, and I don't know if you heard of that fella.
No, I don't think so. No, I've checked him out.
He represented Australia at the Olympics.
Oh, deadly.
Murray fella, I don't know where his mob is from, but he actually lives at Redcliffe, out that way, and he ran Redcliffe PCYC Boxing Club. But they had an exhibition on, and Chris McCullen and Uncle Norm's an old man.
Gave it to him.
Did an exhibition, and that old fella made him look silly. So that when I saw that, and I saw some of the things that he did, I'd never seen it done in a boxing ring. So that really inspired me, and he's one fella that I thought, wow.
Yeah, deadly. If you're just tuning in to Let's Talk, my guest on this morning is Sammy the Boss Leone, deadly brother that grew up on the north side of Brisbane, proud bachelor and Gadawa man, and we're just talking about his boxing career, some of his favourite boxers. But I guess it's about time to sort of have a yarn about, you know, what you're up to now and what you're doing and what you want to inspire to, especially with a lot of those young mob over there on the north side. So, yeah, just for our listeners, yeah, just give us a bit of details on some of the stuff you're up to now, brother.
Yeah. So at the moment, I've recently opened the Boss Boxing Boxing Club at the moment. So I think it's, the Boss Boxing, sorry. So I've opened that recently. We're in the process of fundraising and trying to get together some funds to start a community boxing gym. It'll start off in Zilmia there. I've partnered with a local business owner and he runs a clothing brand out there. But what happened was he had a gym that he opened up in the back and I saw the gym there. So I approached the lad and said, oh, brother, I told him about that I wanted to start a boxing program for the community and for the young fellas to get them off the street because I see them around there and breaks my heart seeing our community running amok out there, seeing them running on the street. It reminded me a bit of myself, and that's really what sort of inspired me to go, no, I want to do something in this community and help them out.
That's deadly, my brother. And how's things looking now? So, like, you've got a spot there, you've got a gym, you've sort of had this, you made this steady relationship with the owner of the shop. Where's it go to from now?
Okay. So that brother, he's got a clothing brand, and he only recently opened that shop there. It's called Blackstone Wear in Zilmia there. It's on Zilmia Road. In the back is where the gym is. So we started off, there was nothing there. I think he had the intention to just open a spot out the back where he could do a little bit of fitness training for himself. And he was very kind enough, you know, to sort of say, yep, you can come in here. So... We've just started off. I one of the things that you need in a gym or that really works is you like to have nice flooring.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked and we were looking at, how can we purchase something out there or raise funds for that? But we got donations from community and they did that and donated some flooring. But now we're in the process where we need bags, we need weights, we need all of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
you've already got that, like that's there. You've got a budget for that.
So what we're after is we've got the equipment that we need. We need it to raise about $4,000, $4,500, something like that. $5,000 will cover it to pay for the equipment. And if we got that, that'd pay for boxing bags and stuff like that. The other thing that we're after too is any donations for like weights, dumbbells, you know, kettlebells, any of that sort of thing, gym stuff, you know, mm-hmm. would be good. But mainly if we got about four or five, or even if we didn't receive money, we've, you know, like if it was paid directly too, because we've got the gear all sorted,
mm-hmm.
That would help if someone could pay for that. And that way they know exactly where the money's going to. It's not going in our pockets. It's mm-hmm. going straight.
And so you've already set up, like you said, like the gear's there. It just needs to be paid for. And that's sort of a deal that you've done with the bloke who owns the shop?
Yes, because that was a part of that. Like, in that agreement, when I said, oh, look, we need a place to start off. We're starting from scratch. We've got nothing. And I said, what I can do as part of that deal is I can help by trying to raise money and paying for gear at the back, and then if you, it's a win-win for both of us. So,
and he's got the gear at his shop.
He's got the gear, he orders it in.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's a win for him because it brings him business, and then it's helping the community, and he's also helping the community, and then we give back to the community by having, you know, regular barbecues or whatever, and just getting the young fellas off the streets.
That was one of the, you know, sort of got the fiery back in your belly was driving home from work or just driving or just, you know, just seeing the mob in the streets at a young age and you just thought of yourself and you just knew the avenue that boxing gave you?
Yeah, basically. And it's like you have that knowledge upstairs. It's not mine anymore. It's now for me to give.
Deadly.
You know, that's 10, 15 years, however long it is, of knowledge and training and aspiring and, you know, like aspiring to reach a goal and doing the things that you need to do to go forward in life. All of that, I've seen how it's benefited me in my life. Now I want to help other young people in our community so I can help them and they can get up out of their circumstance.
And we've been having a great yarn here on Let's Talk this morning with my guest, Sam Leone. He is a deadly boxer, former boxer, and also he is starting up a boxing gym on the north side of Brisbane. He would love the support of the community, the wider community, the non-Indigenous community, to get in and get behind this great initiative that him, some of the mob on the north side are doing. We're actually going to go to a quick song break, and we'll be back after that. This song that we're going to go to is Moppin' the Dropouts with their song Memory of Old Champ. You're listening to 98.9 FM. My guest is Sam Leone.
Friends seen his talent in there. at times. Yes, this man they call Champ, who was a legend in his time. Yes, this man they call Champ grew and grew. Everyone who knew him loved him too. Oh, yes, the memories of old Champ lives on and on.
I'm your host, Bo Spearham, and my guest is Sam Leone, or Sammy the Boss Leone, as he was known in his boxing days. That song you just heard was Mopping the Dropouts with Memories of Old Champ. Brother Sammy, how can some of our mobs sort of follow some of the stuff that we're yarning about as well? So, the Boss Boxing, there's a Facebook page?
Yeah, I've just recently opened a Facebook page, and on that Facebook page, it shows or documents the journey. So, you can see the space that we've got. There's hardly anything in there. And then where we've upgraded and put things in there, you can see all of that.
And also, this boxing gym pretty much is an arm of community as well.
Yeah, definitely. So the boxing club is a program that's and it's actually our first program from our newly opened organisation. It's an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander corporation called Pass on the Fire Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Corporation.
Deadly, my brother. And that's based on the over there on the north side?
Yeah, based in Zilmia there on the north side.
Oh, deadly. And what's some of the stuff that mob can look at with that organisation?
So the Boss Boxing, that's our first program. It'll be general boxing gym. And we'll start off doing that for two nights a week. And then we'll also offer a healthy lifestyle type program, which is yet to be named and everything and yet to be sort of developed. But the intention is to run it maybe an eight-week program where people can come through, they can learn many different things, do some of the health and fitness stuff, and then they can learn about different things that might be a young person going to school and learning how to deal with bullies. The other thing might be...
go to the boxing class, go back to school, go... not that way you're dealing with the bullies.
Yeah, definitely not. So giving them strategies of how to identify bullies and then strategies of how to... or strategies and coping mechanisms of how to deal with that. So when you're being faced by a bully, what do you do? Mm-hmm. There's different ways you can go. You can go and find a partner or a group of people that you can go to who you feel safe with. You can go and tell a teacher or go and see a mentor. Gotcha. But it's teaching them not to keep it to themselves, but giving them strategies because, you know, bullying is a big thing and it's something that has blown up in media as well recently.
So for our listeners out there, this is something really, really good. I encourage all you mob to get behind as well and support this initiative, you know, because like Sammy said, he has this, you know, knowledge. It's about 15 years of knowledge that he has in his head and it doesn't belong to him. He wants to pass that on to the next generation. You know, so if you can get out there, maybe get onto Sammy's Facebook page. We'll put that up on our social medias and links to that on the Let's Talk page on Facebook. We'll have links to Sammy the Boss's boxing page and then also, I guess, how we can support as well, my brother.
Yeah, awesome.
That's good. That's all good, my brother. And one of the other reasons why you got back into boxing, I remember you were saying earlier, off air, you got your young fella into the gym training and you sort of got the fire back in your belly.
Yeah. So my young fella, Sammy plays basketball and, you know, just mucking around with him. I hadn't done anything for 2 to 3 years, I think it was. Had a big spell. And then, like, both him and my daughter, Carnell, they love the sport, but I don't push them. And knowing all of the... I know the game. I know it's a tough game. Dog eat dog when you're in there. And I don't want that for my children. My father, he said to me, when I first started boxing, he said, son, I said, Dad, I started boxing. And he looked at me and he said, because my father is from Tonga, and anyone out there from the Pacific Islands know when they'd make this noise, that means get out of town. Basically, when I told him, Dad, I'm doing boxing, he turned around and went, you're too weak, boy. You're not strong enough. But that was after I went into it for a while. But he said that not as a put down, but it actually out of love, because he understood at the time how hard the game is. And he actually fought in the pros when he was young.
Yes, yeah, so I was about to say, yeah, I remember yourself and your brother Freddie, like, telling yarns of your old man being a boxer and stuff as well.
Yeah. So my old man, he fought Uncle Tony Mundine there a long time ago. He was a Tongan champion over in his country and fought over there and come over here. And but we come on that side of things, on the Tongan side, we come from a long line of fighting, like fighters, boxers in our family, because his father was a boxer as well, and so was his. So it's in our bloodline.
Yeah, back to your yarn with your kids, like that sort of got the fire back in your belly. What happened then after you sort of got this fire in your belly back with training your kids?
Yeah, so one of my good dear mentors and my first coach over at Brackenridge, Sil Johns, so he's really got a big, awesome boxing club that did a lot for me, Kabingai Boxing Club over at Brackenridge. I thought, oh, look, I'll go and help him out and rock up there. So I told him, look, I'm going to come around, help you out. I've got this knowledge. I want to pass it on. I went there, and all respect to my old trainer. I love the guy. He loves me as a son. I love him as a father figure. But I went there and I just felt, you know, it's not for me, because the vision and everything that I have is different, and it was for my immediate community over there at Zilmia, because I lived there, and just seeing the young people in that sort of demographic area, or geographic area, whatever it is, seeing them mob there, I wanted to really work with them.
Yeah,
and I felt, yeah, it's time for me to be my own man now and go my own way.
And that's when you found this other brother with that spot in Zilmia there.
Yeah.
In Zilmia Road, right pretty much where the old Kabingai building was, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right next door to us. So Kabingai, Kabingai, they've got the family support services right next door. So it's good being there, because that's as grassroots as you can you can get there in Zilmia, right there on that stretch. We've got all the Murray organisations. We've got Kabingai there. Up around the corner, we got Umpy Housing. Down the road from that, we got Nullingu. And we got the local Budget Arm Men's Group. And there's just many, many things in that catchment there. Up the road on Zilmia Road, we've got the Aboriginal, Uniting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian Congress. They've been there for years doing work in the community. So just in that little hub, and down the road, Kubara Kindergarten as well, which I'm on the board there. And they're doing big things for our community. So to complement the existing work and stuff that they've done in the community, it's just an add-on, and it complements them, and we all support each other. So we all come up together, and the only people who will benefit is not us, but our kids and our community.
Definitely, and like that's obviously the main aim as well, to get those young fellas off the streets, because sadly, like, we do see a lot of our young fellas, you know, in, I guess, you know, feeling you know, the haze of, you know, colonization and the trauma as well, that unanswered trauma that, you know, we carry, and the generation before us as well. And sadly, you know, like, our young fellas, you know, just like younger generations of, you know, of all of the generations, you know, like, sort of feel this isolation out there as well. But, you know, this is a really, really good thing that you're doing, my brother. And, like, when I saw you, you know, posting that stuff on Facey, you know, I thought, you know, by all means, you know, like, get you on, you know, try and get you into the station here and have this yarn. And if there was anything, you know, that we could do to, you know, support the stuff that you're doing, like, by all means, because I love boxing as well. You know, that's one of my favourite sports. And, you know, if I could, I would sit down and just, yeah, you know, watch boxing all day. And whether it's like old fights, new fights, overseas, you know, domestic and stuff, yeah, and I just love it. And so by all means, my brother, like, anything that we can support with here as well, you know, hopefully when you get set it up and, you know, things are rolling along, we can come back in there and get you back in here, maybe with some of the young fellas as well, and have a yarn with us.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'd love to, Brother Bo.
Just before we head off, brother, is there anything else you'd like to finish on?
I'll probably finish on what I should have started with, and that was acknowledging the traditional people of the area that I do my work and my business, and I train Turrbal, Yagara people, and all the connected cultures and people from them areas who are all around. We have all those neighbouring tribes. We've got Gubbi Gubbi, we have Noonuckle Mob, all of the people there. I just acknowledge all of them people, all of our ancestors, and all of our current elders.
Also, if our listeners want to get onto you, want to donate some money, or they want to donate some gym gear or gym wear or whatever it is, how can I get onto you through that Facebook page?
So either via the Facebook page. The Facebook page is The Boss Boxing, THEBOSS Boxing.
Okay, right. For the listeners, yeah, any other way they can get in contact with you, email address or?
Yeah, I'll give you an email address. It's Pass on the Fire Ministry. So it's PAWSONTHEMINISTRY@gmail.com or 0458-281-464.
Deadly, thank you, my brother. And for all you fellas out there that are listening, those are the contact details. Get on the Sammy in regards to donations for gym equipment, or if you'd like to make a donation to getting some boxing gear, some heavy bags, some floor-to-ceiling bags, some speed balls, some combat ropes, some boxing gloves, some headgears. You know, if you'd like to donate any of those are the contact details. Also, we'll be putting them up on our socials, so on Facebook, on the Let's Talk at 98. Nine FM page. I'll be putting this podcast up very, very shortly, later in the day as well. And you can also, you know, go onto our website as well to check it out. A big thanks to Sammy for coming in this morning to have a yarn with us here on Let's Talk. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Bo, and thank you, 98.9 FM.
That's all good, and you are listening to 98.9 FM right here. My name is Bo Spearham. This is Let's Talk. You can catch me Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on your First Nation station, which plays the best country, which is 98.9 FM. Big thank you to everybody that's tuned in.